everyone. I'm Haley Allam, and this is Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you're a parent new to Luxembourg, then this is the podcast for you. From crèches to crèmes, we'll cover everything you need to know about raising kids and living your best life in the Grand Duchy. Hi, Victoria. Welcome
Hello.
To
Thank
welcome
you.
To the podcast. We've been chit-chatting a little bit before we started recording,
yes.
So it feels a little unnatural to just welcome you now, but welcome.
Thank you very much.
So we are here to talk about your project, Strassen Recipes. Can you tell me a little bit about it without jumping too far in? Because we always start with your Luxembourgish story.
Okay. The project itself is part of the commune's initiative called Budget Participatif. It's French.
What does it mean?
It means that the commune sets aside a budget for the residents in Strassen to propose whatever project they think they wanted to run inside the commune. But it has to be sort of beneficial for the community, and it needs to promote co-living and multiculturalism in the commune.
That is so cool.
It is very cool, isn't it? I've never, ever come across something like that, remotely.
I was going to say, do all the communes? I don't live in Strassen, so.
I don't know. I've lived in different communes, but that never come across at all.
Strassen's a good neighborhood, too.
It's very international. And the cool thing about it is that I think the commune is always very consciously making effort in welcoming expats, welcoming people from different backgrounds. And they make a lot of effort into making sure that everyone feels very welcomed, very safe and happy in living in the commune.
So you found out about this budget and you said, I have an idea?
It was the beginning of 2025. My son has just turned 2 at the time. Even though he's only 2, I've already struggling to think about what to feed him every day. It's so small, so ridiculous. But it is the question I ask myself every day. Oh, what am I going to do tonight for dinner? And I thought, I can't be alone here.
No.
There must be other moms, particularly in here that, you know, I come from China with the land of deliveries and food and everything. People still struggle about what to feed their children for dinner. And we live in Luxembourg. Let's face it, it's not food heaven, is it? I just thought, oh my God, I wonder what I'm going to do today. And I thought there must be other moms facing the same dilemma, facing the same difficulties.
100%.
And what if I could have some way of us sort of trading recipes, you know, sharing ideas.
Crowdsource.
Exactly. It's a community spirit, isn't it? And then I saw this proposal, the calling for this proposal, and I thought maybe I could do something about it. That's how that whole idea came up.
I love that so much. It's true. I used to live in Dubai and it was like whatever you wanted, you could order literally like one cup of coffee that would come to your house within 10 minutes.
Right.
You know, and then Los Angeles, same kind of situation. And then here you're like, and especially for me, because I'm American, we eat dinner at 6 and most of the restaurants here that are decent open at 7, which is bedtime for my kids, 7:30. So yeah. Okay. Great idea. Love it. Is it a mistake to go back to you telling me, asking you about your Luxembourg story?
It's actually very straightforward. And to be honest, it's a little bit boring. The reason why I came to Luxembourg is because I followed my husband. And there isn't like a revolutionary story that I somehow ended up living in Luxembourg. It's just that I fell in love and I got married and my husband has a job in Luxembourg. So I had to make a decision whether to continue my own life or start a proper marriage life, that is, to have to move here. So that's what happened.
And it's not boring. I mean, 9 out of 10 people that I know, 9.7 out of 10 people that I know moved here for their husband's job. It happens. Now that I'm going through all the people that I know, I think there's literally one family that it's the reverse. That's what happens. How long have you been here and how did you find it when you started and how do you like it now?
So officially, I've been here for 5 years.
And you're from China and you've lived in China your whole life except for Luxembourg?
I am from China and I lived my whole sort of career life in China, except for a brief period of time I was studying in the UK. And my job has always been in China and I always made my career and my life in Beijing. And it was fantastic. But then I suppose the biggest surprise, if you like, was just how different lifestyles are. Busy, jammy, sort of noisy city life in Beijing and a very quiet, lovely European lifestyle in Luxembourg.
It's very quiet.
It's very, very quiet.
And now when you go back to Beijing, do you find it annoying that it's so loud?
I think the first 3 days was just so exciting and so wonderful. And back to the land of familiarity and food and, you know, all the hustle and bustle. But then after 3 days, I started feeling, oh my God, this is so overwhelming. I want to go back to my quiet little village life in Luxembourg.
My niece is in her 20s and she lives in London. And she says, when I come here, I feel like I'm on tranquilizers because it's just so
detox.
Calm. Yeah. But now this is kind of sad. When Luxembourg gets kind of heaving in the summer and there's crowds, I'm like, oh, unacceptable, unacceptable. And it's like, how am I going to go back and live in LA one day?
I mean, I don't know how long you've been here, but so even just within this very short 5 years period of time, I've already started to feel a major change and sort of almost like a development, urbanization of a lot of places in Luxembourg, including a lot of different communes. I used to live in a Brido commune, which is very quiet. But even now, they had a very nice brunch restaurant opened at the top of the hill in Brido. And Hoffman Bakery there, which is also very nice, has been refurbished. And they included more menus and more opening hours, etc. Just so that things are happening in Luxembourg. You know, you do feel like this energy is still here. So that's, I suppose, quite different from a lot of even smaller scale cities in Europe. It is getting very, very international.
I've always found it very international, I suppose. But gosh, I've been here for 3.5 years. Have I noticed that it's becoming more vibrant and there's more things to do? I don't know. I'm so tied up in my own.
Yeah, but that's also because we're moms. We're not in our 20s and going out clubbing every night.
Yeah.
I think one good thing for me about Luxembourg is that it's quite easy for me to find a balance. True that, okay, clubbing in a very with a frequency might be a hard thing to achieve in Luxembourg. But if you want to have a bit of hangout, go to a nice bar or even cafes these days, you can find nice specialty cafes in the city.
And nice restaurants.
Yeah, nice restaurants.
Yeah.
Probably not all very affordable, but every now and then it's a nice thing to do. But then if you want to escape all of it, you just find total peace and quiet and a calm time. It's also very easy to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a great place for middle-aged people.
Even you and me.
Yeah, I mean.
And family life, I think.
Yeah, you know. I think it's super safe.
Yeah.
There's been a couple recent things that have been not so safe. But in general, for example, I don't send my kids to school wondering if they're going to get shot by a gun, which is a big problem in my country.
Yeah, or running off by a bus, like my country, so.
I didn't know that. Is that a thing?
Well, it's just so busy that when I was traveling in China with my little one, I was just always very nervous about him running off the street. Or not that people would intentionally try to kill a child. It's just that it's so busy and chaotic. There's so many, you know, delivery, high-speed e-scooters everywhere. And I just feel like you constantly have to watch where the little one is. Whilst here, he can follow me or he cannot follow me on the street or whatever. It's totally fine.
I am way more loose here than at home in terms of the kids' independence, what they want to do, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So I feel like I've got to know you a little bit.
Thank
you. Your Luxembourg story. So you like it here? Are you guys lifers?
Yeah, I quite enjoy life here, I would say. You know, it's very, very different from my previous life. I mean, the difference is because we got married in the middle of the pandemic. I had to move over because China was in a total lockdown. So we couldn't really do the sort of long distance relationship anyway. Mm. And then after moving here, it was still in the middle of the lockdown in Luxembourg and in wider regions in Europe. So life was not normal at the time. And then very quickly, we had a baby together and I just had a 180 turn in my life, sort of stop here, completely different direction, and that's it. So there isn't really a transition time. It's a very sort of shock therapy.
You just did it.
Yeah, I just did it. Get over it and get on with it. So,
wow. I would like to recommend to you a couple episodes I've done about the expat identity, where I've interviewed psychologists about the shift. Yeah, tune into those. They're in the previous season, so you have to scroll down a bit.
No problem.
They're really actually very helpful.
Yeah.
Let's go back. You've got a 2-year-old and you are sick of cooking dinner every night and don't want to think about it.
Yeah, that's one reason. I mean, cooking has always been my passion. Probably is because I'm Chinese. Food means a lot to us. It's a very big culture, big part of the culture in the Chinese identity. If you talk to any Chinese people, we can't avoid discussing about food and eating and all that. And because China is so vast, even just within the country, there's so many different styles, different dishes. And I remember one of my British colleagues once said that you could eat in China for a year, every day, a different meal, and you won't need to repeat anything.
Wow.
And that's probably literally is right. I mean, I don't think anyone has experimented that, but it sounds about right. It is something I do find difficult sometimes to think about, oh, you know, there aren't that many varieties of food and existing here compared with in China. But then the difference in here is that, okay, you don't have all the Chinese food, but you have all of those amazing countries and all those people from different countries bring their own food. Everyone just needs to chip in one or two, then that's plenty already. That's the whole idea behind it. You know, I want to call on for different moms from different backgrounds to share their passion about food, their favorite dishes. You don't have to be a foodie. You don't have to be an amazing cook. It's just something that you feel very comfortable. You feel that this is something that related to your happiness and it's something you'd like to feed your children. I just wanted to know all about it. So by doing this project, I do.
I love that so much. And I want to hear about how you pitched your idea to the commune.
So the commune absolutely loved it. They're so welcoming. It's amazing.
Did you like make a PowerPoint and give a speech? No, walk me through it.
That's my intention. I thought, okay, I'm really going to put in some effort into doing that, right? I'm going to make them fall in love with this project. But actually, I didn't need to. I wrote my proposal and they loved it because I think just
food, it's great.
Your food is just so resonating. Mm-hmm. And I think they do find that this idea really fits with their intention of, you know, really promoting the sort of multiculturalism in the commune, sort of how international that the commune is and how much the commune as a administrative body wants to promote this type of concept and ideals.
Go Strassen.
It's good, right? Yeah. It's really heartwarming. I was quite surprised. And then I felt, wow, I'm actually going to do it. It took them a while to finalize the admin details and all
as
that.
As it does in Luxembourg.
Yes.
Yeah. Asterisk there.
So I didn't receive an official green light until about May last year in 2025. It was all very official. It was on the magazine published, this project selected. Da, da, da.
I have a question though. Yeah. They gave you money for it. Like what overhead do you really have?
It's mainly on the production of making the videos. So that's what I put most of the budget in. So I hired a professional cameraman and a professional editor.
Nice.
Just so that I wanted to really highlight all the different cultures background. But what surprised me is that initial idea I had was that I'm just going to make very straightforward Instagram reels about how to make the dishes. But I suppose, of course, you know, it's very kids friendly. So a lot of the typical dishes might need to be modified. For example, you know, some dishes might be spicy, then we'll have to take the spice out. Or some dishes can be completely salt free. So even a 6 month old who just started weaning from breastfeeding could also use this recipe. So it needs to be very kids friendly. But I thought, oh, I'm just going to filming the cooking itself. But then as it turned out, there are just so many stories behind food.
You're like the Anthony Bourdain of Strassen.
I'm not sure Anthony himself will be happy to hear that.
Well, he's dead, so he can't hear it.
True.
Sorry, rest in peace, Anthony Bourdain.
If anything, I'd quite like to be the Mary Berry of Strassen.
Mary Berry?
She's like a very lovely sort of old granny lady from England who starts teaching cooking in the 50s. And she's still active at the moment. She's the bake-off, the Great British
bake-off.
Yeah, okay. She's the first host for that.
Okay, but does she get into people's stories like Anthony Bourdain?
In her recent shows, yes. So I think she started her story by teaching people how to cook. And then these days, you know, all the food programs also need to be quite sort of humanized, which is really nice. So I went into people's homes, literally into people's homes, into their own kitchens. And it's completely unfiltered. It was absolutely amazing. And then we get to chat and, you know, I know a little bit about their stories and how it is. And just to, you know, I think it's my journalistic instinct kicks in that I just want to find out more. So now it's so much more than just a cooking program.
How did people sign up for it? How did you get the word out?
So I hired two other moms in Strassen to help me with.
Nice.
And they are, of course, we're all freelancing. They're all full-time moms because it's so expensive to live in Luxembourg. So the comparison of childcare bills as well as going for some sort of job, it just doesn't sort of balance up. So they had to stay at home and look after the kids instead of maybe in other countries, they could go out to do some other jobs.
Oh, that's really interesting because when we lived in the States, we paid more for childcare than we did for our mortgage.
Well, probably here, some instance is the same, because when the kids are young, you have to send them to private creches and stuff.
I don't know. I think private creches is way cheaper here than it is in the States.
Probably, yeah. And also, it's really not that easy for moms to find full-time jobs in this country.
That resonates with me.
Particularly if you don't speak French or German or Luxembourgish or work in finance. You know, it's a real barrier to further your own career. So I think for whatever reason, some of us had to stay behind to look after the kids. You know, of course, it's part of life. Again, we get on with it. But I thought, oh, here's an opportunity coming up. And they're both so unbelievably talented. I just asked whether they wanted to get on board and work together with me on this project. And they said yes. I was very lucky. So one of them, she's called Carla. She's an art teacher. And she sometimes works for the International School of Luxembourg.
ISL.
ISL, yes. She's totally amazing and super, super talented and works so hard. And then look after the house and you know, the kids and the chaos and the cooks and everything. And then she is the one who helped me to collect the first batch of recipes after I put out sort of social media calls and all that. So she made a lot of phone calls with her friends, you know, her kids' friends and neighbors, etc. And she's now also helping me to design the book.
Oh, it's becoming a cookbook.
Yes.
Amazing. Yes, when is that going to be out?
Hopefully early summer this year.
Early summer. Yeah. Okay. So this is going to come out before that. So stay tuned for the cookbook.
Thank you. So Carla is helping me doing that, all of that. And then I also met Lisa. She's from UK, from London. And she's fairly new to Luxembourg. She's only been here maybe around 2 years. Again, with two young kids at home. You know, she used to work a little bit in the finance, but her real passion is in early children education. So now she works with the, what's it called, Elton Forum in Luxembourg, to sort of lead mum and kids groups of very
Elton
young age.
Forum?
The parents forum. Outerhorn is the Luxembourgish word for parents.
Okay.
And she primarily works with the Batonge commune to organize playgroups for mum and babies, like very young babies, before they would be in the sort of full-time crash. So she does a lot of sensory plays with the kids and also just building up her own community.
Love that.
She's now my social media manager.
Okay.
So she manages the account and, you know, posting and answering comments and stuff like that. Yeah.
You've got great content.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. The content creating, I have to give credit to my camera team. They're not Strassen-based because they can't afford to live in Strassen. And they are a couple. The husband moved to Luxembourg about 30 years ago. They're both Chinese. He is now more Luxembourgish than Chinese. It's a great story of a couple really helping each other in the marriage. The wife encouraged the husband to pursue her real dream of photography. So now he's making a career and a living out of really professional photo shooting and video making and storytelling.
Amazing. That's so cool. So you got, I love this. So basically the commune gave you funds and then you activated all these people in the community, not just the people who were in the content and the book and making the recipes, but also people who needed freelance gigs.
I'm just really proud that my mom friends, they're so talented and I have the opportunity to make them really shine. They're just amazing women in my community, in my sort of life circle. And I'm so incredibly lucky to have met them, to get to know them, and to be able to sort of work together on something also quite fun with them. So that was really very cool.
One of my previous guests, her name's Diana Reed. She's been on the show, I think, 3 times. Mm-hmm. And I quote her all the time because she said, I think that Luxembourg has the highest concentration of overqualified, underemployed women on the planet.
I can't believe that. Yes. Yeah. I can totally believe that. Absolutely.
Yeah. So everyone's kind of doing their own projects, which is why we're here. So it's going to become a book. It's going to become a cookbook that anyone can buy.
Yes.
So does this just have an end? Like, is this going to have legs and scale? Are you going to try to do this next year? Like, what are your goals for this?
So I haven't got a chance to actually talk to the commune about it yet, but I think for this particular project, because it's under this initiative, the agreement is that I'm going to eventually make a cookbook out of it. And then before the cookbook was launched, there will be an Instagram account with different videos putting out, which is what we're doing right now. But because this project is actually becoming quite popular, a lot of people, at least in Stresen, have heard about it. And I've received people messaging me, you know, privately on the account to say, oh, can I be part of it? It's really nice. I have also have recipes. So I think that definitely is a potential to be extended. So I'm hoping that maybe there is a way of keeping it alive for a bit longer. So I'm trying to see if we could do a bit more filming for more recipes. So far we've got 12 filmings, but I already got the plans to extend it to a bit more. But then with the cookbook, the book itself would contain a lot more recipes than the ones being filmed. It's close to about 50 recipes altogether from like 20 families. You know, a lot of them sort of multi-country background anyway. The book itself is going to be quite sort of resourceful already. So I don't know if we will have a second book, but this book in itself is already quite a substantial achievement from the project. The idea is that perhaps, of course, the commune has to decide that. Do you know that when you get married in Luxembourg, you often receive a gift?
I do, yes.
And I got married in the Kopstal commune, and the commune gave us a cookbook, which is a traditional Luxembourgish cookbook.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's very sweet. You can find all of those very typical Luxembourg dishes in it. I was hoping that perhaps for Stresen commune, they could also give this cookbook as a wedding gift. Because obviously you got married, maybe the next thing you're thinking about is to have a family, and then you have young kids, and voila, this is what can be very practical as well.
I love that. That's great. And it's such a nice thing for you specifically, because food is such an important part of your life, that the commune actually gave you a cookbook.
Absolutely. You know, in China, we have this very famous phrase called, for people, food is heaven. In fact, one of my journalist friends who wrote a book with this title, it just dominates your life. Whatever conversation you have, you inevitably would encounter something about food. In many ways, it's very nice. You know, Chinese people, we are generally speaking quite reserved and, you know, we're not Spanish. You know, we don't like hugs or kisses, and we're not very good at expressing ourselves. And I think food is a very important medium for us to show our loves and to show our appreciations and to communicate our emotions.
Gosh, I got a lot of questions, but the one I just keep wanting to ask you is, what's your favorite Chinese restaurant?
Oh, in Luxembourg.
Yeah. Can we do city and then like anywhere?
Okay. In Luxembourg, my recent favorite is one restaurant in Stresen called Le Zai.
Let's say.
Yeah, it's next to Pizza Hut.
Okay.
I really like it. I think the food there is really nice, and it cooked in a very authentic way.
Is it the same Lotse that they have out by my son's old music school?
I don't know, actually.
It's like halfway to wine country from here.
I think they've only got this one site.
It's weird they would have two restaurants with the same name.
Maybe. I don't know. I've never. It's Le Zai. It's Lezhai. Oh, no, sorry. Zai.
I don't know. That's above my pay grade.
The other one might be easier to remember. It's called Raku, R-A-K-U. It's okay. Down in Battenberg. It's also very good.
Okay.
They've got some really nice sort of spicy food. Not necessarily the authentic Sichuan food, but it's cooked in a very nice way. And there's another restaurant I wanted to try. It's called Lao She. I think it's out on the east side of the country. It's owned by the new mayor of Kuantan. It's his family business as well, but it's also his own sort of passion project. I'm about to interview him. And so I had a chat with him and I've discovered this connection.
Nice.
He is also the owner of those ramen noodle places in Luxembourg, Kaiko.
Oh, yes. I've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them popping up. I have not been.
It's also very good. Yeah.
Okay. So back to the cookbook. Mm. Is it all the same families that made the 50 recipes, but then you just, because of time and budget, you only videoed 12?
Some families simply don't want to be filmed. It's totally understandable, you know, for privacy reasons. You don't want your kids popping out on social media randomly, right? So that's totally understandable. Some people are a bit shy. They would like to be part of it, but perhaps having a film crew entering your own kitchen is a little bit too much. I totally get it. So we're really just asking people to come forward to talk to us. And a lot of people did. There were quite a lot of conversations to reassure them about how it is. And in fact, the first few filmings we did was with me, with Carla. My cameraman, he cut a demo piece out of Carla cooking her recipe. And then with that in my hand, I just going around and showing people, you know, this is what's going to be like. And everybody loved it. And it was just so beautiful. It's like very authentic, very natural. That's one thing I really wanted to make people aware is that I often look at the Instagram reels thinking that, oh, this food looks amazing, but am I going to cook it? Perhaps not. Mm-hmm. But with all of my videos, it is, all of them are cooked by real people in their real kitchen and eaten by their real families. So it is really is something that everyone and anyone can do. I mean, some of them might be a little bit complicated or a bit more time consuming because everyone wants to contribute their best recipe. But everything is authentic. You know, there's no manufacturing, there's no food coloring or food decoration or whatever. So it might not be the most beautiful dishes you could see.
It's real, though.
But it's real. It really is real.
I love that. I love that because, I don't know, when you go online and you find recipes, you just don't know, you know?
Yeah. And I've failed so many times by following the Instagram reels thinking, it's not quite right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know. And it's not good. And in the cookbook, they give you the recipe, like the real original recipe, and then the modification to make it kid. Because there's one thing of what do I want to cook for my family and for me because I'm sick of it because it's like every single night, the mental load of like what's for dinner.
Yeah.
And then it's what will my kids actually eat?
Exactly. Yeah.
And especially being American, you know, it's like burger, nuggets.
Well, my kid loves that as well. So,
yeah. But, you know, I try to do a little.
I think a balance is the key, isn't it? I always think that the best attitude about food and eating, particularly for kids, is a total relaxation. You know, life is a marathon. If they don't like eating this today, it doesn't mean that they won't like eating it tomorrow. My kid changed his mind sort of every 24 hours. You never know.
He's at the age, right? He's 3.
He probably is. And also, I just think that the more he's exposed to different varieties, it's built up for the long run. I still remember that when I was little, I was a very, very picky eater. My mom hated cooking for me and my dad. I actually preferred to eat in a disgusting school canteen instead of, on our own dinner table. But then just one day in my life, I just sort of switched and now I literally eat everything.
Yeah, things change.
But then it's the thing that's been sort of building up in your, you know, tiny, weird brain that, I never used to like eating any green vegetables. Now I couldn't live without it. I think this sort of influence is always there. It's just, you're just going to be sort of a bit more patient to wait for your kid to click and they will.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I have 3 kids, so... Yeah. It's very hard to make something that every single person
exactly.
likes.
You can't please everyone.
No,
right?
Tonight's not your night, babe.
Exactly.
Better luck tomorrow night.
Right.
Is there anything else that you want people to know about the project? You know, just another thing is, wouldn't it be cool if all the communes did this and then there was like
right?
a bake off?
Yeah.
Or like a recipe off, like a competition?
So I heard that perhaps on the national level, they wanted to initiate a project sort of similar to that, like every community, whether it's sort of a country or whether it's a regional, to put forward a representative dish. And then somehow they would organize an event, a party or something for everyone to bring their dish together. And then people can come and eat somewhere.
I think that's a great idea. Do you know if that's happening or?
I don't, but perhaps your podcast could calling for everyone to petition
yes.
for it. That would be a big summer gathering, I would think.
Attention, everyone. If you're listening, write your commune and tell them you want to do this because this would be super fun.
It would be. And it really is bringing so much happiness and joy together. And every family we went to film, perhaps at the beginning, everyone's a bit skeptical, but then we have a conversation, we have a cup of tea, then we get to cooking, and then we get to eat the food. It's just such a natural way to make friends and make the community bond and really make everybody feel you're part of it. You can also enjoy this sort of the loveliness of living in Luxembourg.
I'm telling you, you're the Anthony Bourdain of Strassen.
That'll be my handle.
What else do you want people to know? find you on Instagram at Stress and Recipes?
Yes, please. Please support us by liking and comment and sharing. Yes, just tell people about it and tell us what you think. And if you want to be part of it, you're always welcome, whether you're stressing or in anywhere else, just get in touch.
Love it.
Thank you.
Victoria, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you like the show, I'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to leave a comment, or better yet, share with another mom friend. And if there's a topic you'd like to see covered or you want to be on the show yourself, please email me at momlife@rtl.lu. And if you're feeling social, you can always reach me on Facebook and Instagram at Mom Life in Luxembourg. Thanks so much and have a great day.